So our next presenter is Ron Segner. Ron was born and raised on a farm and ranch in Homedale, Idaho. He holds a bachelor and master's degree in agriculture and economics from the University of Idaho and a master's in business administration from Boise State University. Ron is also a distinguished graduate of the Army's Officer Candidate School of Combat Engineering and served in Vietnam as a personnel management officer. After completing his military service, Ron was hired to build and implement the McDonald's Pattern Frozen Fry program throughout the U.S. and Canada. Ron later was promoted to manager of supply chain for McDonald's U.S. and was responsible for over $2 billion of purchasing and supply chain activities. In 1979, Ron was hired by Popeye's Fried Chicken to serve as vice president of new products, supply chain, quality assurance, manufacturing facilities, and equipment. In 1984, he was recruited by Jericho, who operates 1,700 Long John Silvers, Frisoli's, and Jerry's, to serve as senior vice president. He managed culinary development, franchising, supply chains, global seafood sourcing, quality assurance, equipment supply administration. In 1992, Ron was hired as CEO and president of the Burger King system to build the largest purchasing system, a cooperative purchasing system, which would consolidate the $2.5 billion of purchases for the 600,000-plus restaurants and multiple franchises into a single system. In 1996, Ron and two partners founded CEO Partners Incorporated, which focuses on implementing best practices in food service supply chain systems and related industries. CEO Partners has built world-class supply chain systems and cooperatives for over 50 food service companies, including Darden, Jack in the Box, Brinker, IHOP, Yum Brands, Applebee's, Focus Brands, and other key food service companies, major agricultural associations, and manufacturing and processing companies. Ron has completed a book called Unchained, love the title, which describes how supply chains work and next-generation supply chains for the food service industry. The book will be used in the master's program in supply chains in the Department of Food Service and Lodging at the Rosen College of Hospitality and Management at the University of Central Florida. Ron is married to his lovely wife, Fran. They have 4 children and 6 grandchildren. He loves to fish and is an instrument-rated pilot. With that, Ron, welcome to today's webinar.
Thank you, Kenda. And I want to thank Pat for inviting me to be here today. And an opportunity to really share with you some of the things that are going on in the restaurant business and the whole supply chain, which obviously has been impacted pretty dramatically here because of COVID. I'm going to really break it down into 2 parts today. The first part being the restaurant business. I'll talk a little bit about pre-COVID, what's happened during COVID, and particularly where the have and the have-nots are from a restaurant perspective. Then we'll talk a little bit about what I think is going to maybe happen from a post standpoint. And then we'll spend the last part of the presentation talking a little bit about supply chains. First of all, I want to talk a little bit about the restaurant business, give you a little bit of background. It's a large industry. It's almost $900 billion in sales. That's made up of restaurants, which is about $820 billion of that. You got bars and taverns. You got non-commercial, which are universities, et cetera, and you have military and then other. We have had approximately 1 million locations. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And we employ close to 16 million people in the industry. In 1955, it was about 25% of the food dollar. Today, it's roughly 51%. That's dropped off a little bit, but we expect that to come back. In terms of employment, if we continue the same rate of growth, we should be at somewhere close to 17 million in terms of employees. From an ownership standpoint, we've seen a lot more concentration. If you look down on the left there, you'll see companies, particularly a lot of private equity, has made major investments in the business. But Yum Brand has KFC. Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, Darden has Olive Garden, Cheesecake, Longhorn, Bahama Breeze, and just recently bought Checkers. Rourke has a series of restaurants from Moe's to Auntie Anne's to Shotsky's, Seattle Best. Then you've got some new ones that have been that have grown or private equity that like Inspire that have Arby's, Boston Wings, Sonic, Papa John's. You have Bloomin' Brands. which has Carrabba's, Fleming's, and then you have restaurant brands, which now is a consolidation of Popeye's, BK, Tim Hortons, Inspire just bought Dunkin' Brands, and that was noticed today. So the other major change here is that about 84% of the restaurants today are franchised. As the business has gotten more competitive, we've seen more and more ownership move to franchised. As a system, we purchase about $300 billion worth of products. Just to kind of summarize that, we've got an eating establishment for about every 325 to 30 people, which means it's very concentrated. It's a mature industry. Most of the growth has gone, so everybody has been fighting for transaction, trying to get people into the restaurants to eat. We have more new product introductions and promoted motions than we've ever had before. We're offering more service options. We've always had drive-through takeout, but now we're doing a major portion in delivery because of COVID. But that's been a change, and we think COVID has accelerated. The margins have gotten smaller. We've seen a lot of ownership changes. Now, COVID hit, and as you heard before in some of the previous conversations, in March of 2020, we've seen a dramatic drop in restaurant visits. Today, we're off about in sales, and again, this is total of all sales, about 10.3%. Industry traffic is off about 16.3%. The reason they're not the same is that we're seeing a lot of the takeout orders. They're larger orders, and people are adding more onto those orders because they're taking that product at home. Now, if you look at individually the different, and there's a couple different ways you can look at restaurant chains. One is by category, and the other one is by type of service they offer. Most of the growth and the ones that are doing fine are in the obviously poultry, chicken category, pizza and burger and Mexican. The ones that have been hit hardest are the coffee, the casual, and the family. And part of that reason is the type of service they offer and whether it's inside seating or drive-through and delivery. On the burger side, you can see Jack in the Box is up almost 12%. They just reported their earnings here third quarter. Doing very well. We've done work with them. Customer counts are down a little bit, but again, because of their average order and the price of it, it's substantially larger. Wendy's is doing okay. McDonald's is doing okay. Burger King is on the line. The restaurants that are really getting hit the hardest are the ones in the casual and the family dining category. And there's two reasons. One is that they have not typically been in, you could always pick up, and some of them have started delivery, but they weren't offering a lot of those services. So when you look at Chili's, you look at Outback, Applebee's, Cheesecake, Red Robin, and Olive Garden, they're down pretty substantially. The same way with family, particularly IHOP and Denny's. Now, the other thing that we've seen is off-premise has grown, and we think that's probably around going to grow to about 21 or probably a fifth of our orders, where there's no question that COVID has accelerated that. In fact, DoorDash just did an IPO, even though they haven't made any money. I think it went out at $50 billion. But we are seeing more people that are used to off-premise through the four different ways, and we see that growing both in the dinner, the lunch, and the breakfast meal. We see it in all categories of ages, from the Gen Z, the Millennials, the Generation X, and the Baby Boomers. So we're seeing growth there. A little bit more definitive, and again, this is based on third quarter, most recent results. You can see that the top ones are the casual. They've all seen some pretty significant decreases in restaurant sales and traffic. The family up here have seen the same kind of decrease. Once you get into the burger, they've all seen increases. Burger King's down a little bit. The pizza has done well. The chicken has done well. The Mexican has done well. And coffee soft, because primarily, again, that's been a kind of an in-seeding category. The big issue right now is what's going to happen. Obviously, our big concern right now is the second wave. Here locally in Lexington, Kentucky, we're down to zero seating in the restaurants. That's supposed to go back to 50%. That hasn't been announced yet. The difficulty is that most restaurants in this particular category need, if you talk to like Denny's, they'll say they need probably 70% of sales just to break even. At 50% of sales, you can't make it, and most of these people don't have the ability to be able to adapt to the delivery because they don't have the technology and they just don't have the service systems to be able to accommodate it. National Restaurant Association is saying we've closed about 110,000 restaurants. I don't think all of those are permanent. That's supposedly 17%. But I think some of them have closed temporarily because their cost is more than what they can generate in sales and profits. And some of them we're seeing beginning opening up as different concepts. We're still seeing in the numbers that about, and I know this chart's a little hard to read, about 49% of the people are uncomfortable in going into a restaurant today. So that's going to be long-term one of the biggest challenges we have in the restaurant business. How do we convince these people to go back into a restaurant, and how are they going to be comfortable again? You can see in these pictures on the left side on the bottom that a lot of restaurants are bringing in tents. Some of them are bringing in these clear domes to see if they can generate business. The one on the lower right here is a local restaurant called Malone's. They do about $12 million in sales. Right now, inside, they are closed. The requirement is that they have to have 50% fresh air coming in there. But this isn't cheap. That tent runs them, I know them fairly well, about $7,000 a month. They have eight big heaters in there, which cost $1,700 a piece. And obviously, you got the operating cost of just keeping those going. So it's a major issue with these in-seating restaurants. Now, in terms of where we go, this is all uncertain yet. We'll have to see how these vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna work out. But Morgan Stanley did some recent numbers up in the upper left-hand corner showing we went from about 52-53% of the food dollar down to 47%. They're anticipating by probably about 2021-2022, we'll still be about half of the dollars, maybe 51% of the dollars. I think with delivery, and if you look at the past history on the restaurant business, I wouldn't be surprised if we get back to 50%. The other image is on here, up in the right-hand corner. This is a new Burger King that they're playing with. And if you'll notice, some pretty significant changes. Double drive-throughs on both sides of the building. They obviously have spaced out customers in the middle and inside the building so they can accommodate it. Obviously, they got curbside pickup, drive-through, and delivery. If you look down on the right and the bottom, you see an El Pollo Loco. Again, they spaced seating out, and they've also designed some outdoor in. On the left is kind of a restaurant of the future and some of the things that we may be doing on the restaurant side, from touchless doors to more sanitation to offering all the different delivery service, curbside, drive-through, and also maybe even having flexible kitchens. You've probably read a little bit about ghost kitchens, where some of the people are playing with the fact that the kitchen is basically a prep area and all the deliveries that go out of one particular facilities, but there won't be any in-dining or drive-throughs attached to the restaurant. So that's maybe what we're looking toward the future. This is a picture of the book. This is just in the preliminary printing. In fact, I haven't got my copy yet, but the professor, Cynthia Maya, who runs the is the interim chairman of the department, is going to start teaching this. This is based on about 55 restaurant chains that we've worked with, and a lot of the past work with Burger King and McDonald's, and working with A.T. Kearney, which is a global supply chain. And it's about basically building the next generation of supply chains. When we step back a little bit and you look at the food business, we're being faced with a lot of challenges today. Everything from advocacy groups talking about antibiotics to sustainability, those issues. We obviously are in a market share battle in the restaurant business because of our growth. We have commodity volatility. We have regulations. We have trade challenges. And so what we're trying to do basically is find ways to improve our systems out there. And in the environment, what we're trying to do is optimize what we do in our whole supply chain system and reconnecting or connecting all the different elements of the supply chain. This is not like it has been in the past. It's more about trying to find ways to work together with raw material suppliers, carriers, suppliers, distributors, redistributors, and restaurants, so we can be a lot more efficient in these systems, deliver fuller loads, better economics, and strip out costs that aren't necessary. We focus on basically 8 different pillars in trying to build this business. We're focusing on everything from the people in the organization to the strategic sourcing and the negotiation, what kind of relationships we have with these suppliers, actually going more to a direct relationship all the way back to the growers so we can control the quality and the brand safety and those things. We're trying to unbundle all of these costs so we understand the value for the cost. We're looking at how to deal with LTOs, which are limited time offerings, and promotions. And one of the big things we're trying to do is reverse these supply chains. As an industry, we're pretty antiquated from a supply chain perspective because everything starts at the restaurant, flows backwards to the distributor and the warehouse, the manufacturer, and the raw material people. And they really don't have any opportunity to look at what the sales are in the actual restaurant. So we're reversing that trend and beginning to drive these supply chains from a demand perspective, which makes them a lot more perspective, a lot more efficient. We're also working a lot on specifications, brand safety, and crisis management. And the biggest part that we're really focusing on is the whole area of technology. How do we connect all of these components so we have the information to know what's going on and how to manage it? These are our 5 levels that we've identified in supply chain. Most of the industry is at what we call strategic procurement, which is pretty basic. We're trying to elevate them up into this level 4 and 5, which is more the demand system. It's integrated, it's connected, and we work together as a total industry. Going forward, I think that we'll continue to see the restaurant business being 50% of the food dollar. That $300 billion in purchases will grow. It represents about 33% of the cost of the sales out there. It's a big industry, obviously. We're not very far from being a trillion or 16 million employees. The market share battles are going to continue, even though we've lost some restaurants. People always want to be in the restaurant business. We know that COVID's going to impact us, but I think the biggest change that we'll probably see in this business is the fact it'll accelerate a lot of the things that we're really already working on. The ones that are in the survival mode, that's the big question, and those are most of the in-dining, which is going to be your casual, your family, and your fine dining, whether they've got the liquidity to be able to survive for this period of time. We'll see, obviously, some accelerated changes that I've already talked about. I think in terms of the universities, the farmers, processors, ranchers, et cetera, one of the things that we're going to have to do is form more partnerships and get more integrated into these supply chains. whether it's sourcing, sustainability, or animal welfare, those types of things. A lot of those groups are directly going after the restaurant chains. And I think if we stand together, we're going to be a lot stronger, and we need to deal with the issues, but we need to do it from a science-based perspective. Next generation supply chains, they're going to be a lot different. We need to change. The business is changing. The world is changing, and we need to develop these supply chain systems. So with that, I know I'm about at my time. I'll stop there, and we'll leave anything else open for questions. Thank you.